Game on.
Game on.
2FM.
Great pleasure to introduce two members of Ireland's World Cup winning team, Captain Fiona Coughlan and Ian Cantwell. You're very welcome to the show.
Thank you.
I should mention that our own Michael Corcoran is also with us here. And yeah, it's great to have you because it's been quite a few weeks. And Fiona, if I can start with you as captain, you must be really proud. Disappointment aside of England, you must be really proud overall of how the team went over the last few weeks.
Yeah, you know, going into it, we said we'd be happy with that top four position, and I think the manner we played in our pool stages was really, really impressive. And I think the way that I think we kind of woke the tournament up and, you know, gave life to the tournament, and everyone was talking about it then after we beat New Zealand, and, you know, that was an absolutely fantastic game, and it's something definitely I'll remember forever. And, you know, looking back on the tournament, I will definitely look back on it fondly, but I'm a bit bitter about the lack of performance against England. But then I thought we had the game against France there to finish third, and we kind of just threw it away at a key time, so that was ultimately disappointing. So at the moment it's disappointment in my head, but I know looking back on it down the line it will be very, very proud.
How does it feel to be home after a few weeks away?
Yeah, you become kind of institutionalised, being told what to wear and what to eat. And, you know, I woke up this morning, there was no food in my house, and it was a bit strange. But, you know, we came back yesterday to a huge reception, and that was just amazing because, you know, we didn't have a trophy or anything, so we weren't expecting the crowds to be out there, and they came in their droves, so it was brilliant.
I mean, if someone had said to you before the tournament that you'd be in a third, fourth place playoff, would you have taken that?
Yeah, I suppose we probably would, and that's what we targeted. We knew we were good enough to be up there with the top four in the world, but when you get there you want more, and then as an athlete you're always vying for silverware, and that's what you want, and when you don't get it, it is ultimately disappointing. But where women's rugby has come from and the journey that it's been on, it is a hugely successful place to be, and, you know, fourth in the world is very good.
Lynn, we spoke to you before New Zealand, and you were supremely confident that you're going to not only go out there and give a good account of yourselves, but you're going to go out and beat four-time world champions. I mean, it's one thing to be confident, but it's another thing to go out and put in a performance like you did. Where did that come from? And that was, you were building towards that, obviously.
Yeah, it was. Like, I think our plan in every game, or any athlete's plan or any team's plan in every game, is to play the best you can. And so that's always the plan. And there's so many variables that go into that, you know, and I think that we just prepared so well in the months building up to it. And then obviously our warm-up games, we're building. We're starting to see a few things click in the last game against Wales, and then the USA game again. I think we played very well there, really, really quite a steady performance to get the win, and they brought that into the All Blacks game. And I think it was the second game, so therefore we didn't overanalyze it. We were really, really focusing on the USA because that was quite an important game, and then we just followed the same structure going into the Black Ferns game as well. So yeah, like really, really confident, because we always look at our team and we know our potential, and ultimately we're always trying to get there, and it just seemed to click for those games.
How much does team unity and the strength and bond that you had with the squad, everybody together, how much has that played a part in where you got to in the World Cup?
Yeah, it's phenomenal. Listen, there's no doubt about that. Our team, we have something special within us all. It's ridiculous. And I think that's based on just our core values. I think, you know, we set extremely high standards and we really don't settle for anything. I mean, that's across the board. Like, literally, that's from management to players. That's from, you know, time management to, like, our skills and our trainings and so on. And there's no doubt about, when your back's against the wall, when you truly respect and love playing with these girls, then you'll do anything for them. And I think that's what happens.
It's not always an easy thing to do. And in fact, more often than not, it's the case that, you know, maybe a majority of people will get on, but there's always going to be a few that perhaps don't quite fit in with that mould. So what was the unity there? What was the unifying thing that brought everybody together? Was it just this common goal that you wanted to be as good as you can be? Or was it that you also got on, you happened to get on really, really well together?
I think, yeah, common goal, I suppose that's what a team is. We're all working towards a common goal. I think from the very, very start, we said that we're going on this journey risking never ever playing a minute in that World Cup, and we set that straight from the start. And I think because of that, like, you know, selections are always difficult. Mm. You obviously, there's four people that don't get to play, and I suppose we signed up to that from the very, very start, and as a result of it, there's just that mutual respect across the team, as in we're just going to give absolutely everything to try and get on that team and then put in the performance.
Michael, just to ask somebody, I suppose, from an outside looking in, because obviously Lynn and Fiona will know what the team have, but from the outside looking in, you've travelled to a good few games. on commentary duty, what is it that makes this team so special in terms of the bond from an outside view, if you can put it into words?
Yeah, I think they've actually got an incredible trust amongst each other, and they've got an incredible self-belief. I've always been impressed with their work ethic. And I remember one of the first games that I went to against Scotland in Lasswade a couple of years ago. And, you know, they won the match. It was actually my first women's rugby international to go to. And I was immediately sort of struck when the game finished that they stayed on the pitch and they mingled with the fans quite easily and quite happily. And they posed for photographs and signed autographs and laughed and joked with family members. And there's, you know, people always talk about the sort of bond between players and supporters. But, you know, what people don't realise is that this team, a lot of the people who support them are their parents or their, you know, partners or friends or work colleagues and that type of thing. And there's a huge comradeship, I think, between them, and there's a huge sense of unity between them, and that's something that has always struck me right from the very beginning.
And Fiona, that's something that comes from the top, and the top is obviously the coaching staff with Philip, but also as captain as well, there's a responsibility on you to create an ethos and an atmosphere in the team. It's not something you can force, it's something that you can have an influence on, but did you feel that as captain?
Yeah, no, definitely. Like, a big focus is about we're a family and we're doing together, and anyone who comes into squad is part of the family. And, you know, things like, there's a lot of thought that goes into things like jersey presentation, that it's people who mean something to squad or have given something to the squad. And, you know, in fairness to the management, they
do you want to just say, Lynn's giving Michael a bit of a kick there on the side. Do you want to tell us what happened when Michael presented the jerseys? yeah, it was a big occasion for Michael presenting the jerseys, and then what happened was he went out and unfortunately got beaten by England.
Yeah, no. Like, the management, in fairness, they think about everyone and everyone, and even our supporters coming over to France, like, our management were thinking about them as well, because they're part of the journey, and, you know, that drives us on. The support for that New Zealand game was phenomenal. Like, the stand was full. To have the anthem been sang back to us was amazing. Like, and I think that's what drives us as well, is those people around us.
Okay, so what happened against England?
It's hard to say. Like, we went into it preparing the same way we had in the previous three games. You know, we didn't focus too much on the fact that it was a semi-final, because, again, it was just another game, another step. Things just didn't seem to click. You know, our scrum, which had been so dominant in the pool stages, just... it fell to pieces, and we were trying to fix it on the match. And I don't know. Now, in fairness to England, who hadn't previously been as technically good as they are, they had so much time together, their scrum improved immensely from the Six Nations. But even our line-out, which was so strong and still should be so strong, you know, it didn't function as well. And then things start going the wrong way, and you don't get the bounce of the ball, or you don't get a call from the ref. And it just seemed like nothing kind of clicked at all, and we just didn't seem to have a bite, because we've played England so many times and we always raise our performance to them. We've only beaten them once, but it's always a good game, and it was disappointing, because that was one of our worst performances ever against England.
And I suppose the time to do as well. And Lynn, when you're playing sport at that level, there are going to be games where you're flat and nobody can put their finger on it, and nobody can necessarily do anything about it. It's just something that happens to a team. It must have been all the more difficult to accept that, you know, this is a semi-final, and that one game for this to happen must be tough.
Yeah, it was. And I suppose I definitely had a little word, you know, with myself at halftime, saying, you know, what can we say? And I suppose sometimes you're sitting in change rooms at halftime and you just keep calm, and then you just allow the team to continue to progress into the second half, and we get a performance. And sometimes, you know, you have a conversation and you change your mindset. So it's difficult. I think England played very, very well on that day. And I think I was saying that outside to the lads earlier, that literally 1 to 15, literally there was no player that had a bad game. I think that we did let ourselves down. We probably had a few of our baddest games. And it just, yeah, one of those things. I don't think it was the occasion. I think we're definitely more disappointed in ourselves about our performance.
Well, the start suggests that it wasn't the occasion, because he started really well. He got that first try, and then it was just like you hit a wall, and the wall was full of white jerseys, to put it another way.
Yeah, we did. I think tactically, like, we had a good game plan. We actually didn't get to implement it, you know, definitely in attack, unfortunately. Yeah. And we really were quite confident about that. Like, there was a serious buzz going into that game, because we were really excited about what we had planned to undo them, because we'd seen a few things in the videos. We just didn't get the ball to do it. And as Fee was saying, I suppose, you know, if you don't get ball, a few of your set piece let you down, and then before you know it, like a team like that are they're world class champions. That's what I said before. So I think we've played them about 15 times now, and this is the best English performance I've ever played against.
Michael, what was it like watching on, yourself and Fiona on commentary duty, watching on and the start that Ireland got, and then all of a sudden it just became apparent that England were really on their game and Ireland just fell off a bit in crucial stages?
Yeah, I think the 10 or 15 minutes before half time was massive, to be fair, you know. And it appeared that every time England came sort of anywhere near the Irish 10-metre line, they came away with scores. I was talking to some people after the match who have been covering England since the last Rugby World Cup, and they said that's the best English performance since the last Rugby World Cup. So that it has to be put in perspective.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I was in Twickenham this year when they played 17-10, the final score. That was a very, very close game, you know. And I expected something similar, to be fair. But England just, you know, no disrespect to the two people either side of me here, but Ireland did their best on the day. But sometimes you've got to hold your hand up and say, you know, something, we've been beaten by a bloody good team. And Ireland, even last Sunday, you know, watching the final, you'd say, you know, I said to myself, well, you know, they lost to the team that eventually won this competition. But just on the day, everything that could go right for England did go right for England. And Ireland were punished very, very severely. You know, the scores coming towards halftime, the two tries that Merle Parker scored coming late in the game as well, put a massively unbalanced look to the scoreboard, to be perfectly fair about it. But it was just very, very frustrating after such a positive start, to be fair. You know, and the support, I mean, I actually had I had my iPad with me, and I videoed them when they were singing Ireland's Call. I just listened back to it this morning, and to hear, as Fiona said, you know, okay, there was a song playing over, you know, Ireland's Call was playing over the PA, but to hear it being sung back with gusto was absolutely incredible. The support in the stadium was brilliant for them, but they just ran into an England team that day who were just absolutely terrific.
What did Philip say to you after the game?
We had let ourselves down, and it was about going back to the drawing board and just trying to figure out why. Like, that's the thing, we're looking for answers all the time, and we still haven't come up with any answers.
And sometimes sometimes there is no answer.
Yeah.
It's just, that's what happened.
Yeah, so it was important then that we had to move on, because we still had another game to play, and it was about getting ourselves back to where we are and bringing a performance. And, you know, while people were very disappointed the next day, the next morning was a bit dark. By lunchtime, I think things had picked up, and the next focus was on to the French game and, you know, trying to put things right.
Did you feel the reaction from back here? Was there any way of gauging? I know people are coming over and maybe you get a sense over there, but I suppose it must be difficult to kind of gauge how much the country bought into the whole tournament from here.
Yeah, it was funny. Like, after the first game, you know, I got a bit on social media and I was always responding or favouriting things. But then after the New Zealand game, I just couldn't. There was just too many people. It just went crazy. And people coming over saying, oh, the country's gone wild. And I don't think we really appreciated it until we arrived home yesterday and the crowd that was there.
Yeah, I mean, you guys have been playing for so long for Ireland, and all of a sudden the Grand Slam win, and then 2 years later, there's this. It's a mini explosion that's happening right now, and I suppose the hope is that this is the catalyst for more and more people to start playing women's rugby, and, you know, young girls in schools looking to you and saying, "Look at this World Cup semi final, Grand Slam champions." Is that the hope that now Ireland women's rugby can move on to the next level?
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, the Grand Slam is out of this world insane. But then what we have just done, I think, in the World Cup, I suppose, it adds an awful lot more credibility to it, because it wasn't just a once-off, you know. So that's really, really important. It's hugely, hugely important that we kind of ride this wave, because there is an awful lot of development that needs to be done, and we can do it. We have the structures in place. I don't think a women's game can ever say that there aren't the pathways, or that we don't know the pathways involved, because we just look to the men's game and we just follow that pathway. We just need the right structures in place. And there's just phenomenal amount of kids, like Fee was saying, that they were doing a tournament there a few weeks before we went, and there's some serious talent in Ireland, and there's so many girls that are so excited about it. And I suppose we're kind of excited, I suppose, to be little role models, and they're saying, yeah, you know, come into the airport and say, oh, you know, looking up to us, which is really gorgeous, I suppose, for ourselves. But there are some phenomenal little players out there. We just need to get them into teams, get the right structures, and there's, you know, some good generations upcoming.
I mean, it's because it's been a bit of a lonely road for this team over the last while.
Yeah, it has. And I suppose ultimately, like, we're self-motivated, we're motivated by each other, and I suppose that's what keeps you going. Definitely I'm motivated by trying to be the best of me. I know Fee is as well, and so that's what kept us going. But I think it's important that girls shouldn't have to follow that path. They shouldn't have to go through what we've gone through. I don't regret a day of it, obviously, at all, but they shouldn't need to, because we can be better. You know, if we had structures in place, we would be an awful lot better than we are now, and I'd love to see that. But that's just, you know, a dream as such. These girls can, so we just need to get those structures in place and get them to reach their potential, I suppose.
Michael, a huge part of that structure potentially could be Philip Doyle. At the moment, it looks like he's seriously considering a move away from the game, a move away from his current position. Do you think the RFU has a responsibility now to talk to Philip and see if they can and persuade him to stay on in some sort of permanent capacity?
I think the RFU have a massive responsibility to take the women's game in this country to the next level. I mean, if you see what this group of players have achieved over the last number of years, I mean, under the direction of Philip Doyle, I mean, winning a Grand Slam, getting to a best ever position at a Rugby World Cup, you know, getting to a semi-final of the competition, beating New Zealand, no other Irish rugby team has done that. I mean, there's a huge sense of achievement, but I think it's a massive, massive opportunity for the RFU to take this on, to bring this on. I mean, you know, I was in Milan for the Grand Slam winning game. I mean, there were people coming from New Zealand, from the other side of the world, making a decision on a Tuesday night. You know, Jesus, I played rugby, there was one of the women who had played previously, you know, and she turned to her husband in New Zealand on Tuesday night and says, listen, you know, this is a once in a lifetime thing. This has never happened before. I want to be there. And she jumped on a plane. Like, they couldn't afford to do it, but she jumped on a plane and came all the way to Dublin and came all the way to
Parabiagio.
It was a good night after.
Thanks very much. Yeah, it was a great night. Yeah, Milan. It was the outskirts of Milan. That's all I can remember. But you know, I mean, that's the bond that's there between everybody. And when you look at people like, you know, who've achieved nothing, unfortunately, and you look at the people who are there now who have, and I just think the responsibility is on the RFU to bring this to the next level. If that involves Philip Doyle, well, that's a discussion they're going to have. But if you look at the effort that not just he puts in, but Greg McWilliams, Peter Bracken, Len, the video man, you know, the people look after the gear, Gemma Crowley, people like that. I mean, they're as professional as the men's game, and that's the reality. And you see, like, with a little bit more thought, a little bit more investment, and a little bit more encouragement, I mean, Ireland can dine at the top table of women's rugby for a hell of a long time. I mean, if you look at the semi-finals of the Rugby World Cup, you had England, France, Ireland, three Northern Hemisphere teams, plus Canada, so we can claim them as well. Do you know what I mean? I mean, but there was nobody, like, South Africa weren't there, New Zealand weren't there, Australia weren't there. Yeah. The three Northern Hemisphere teams were there, basically. And I mean, Ireland can be a team that can compete at the top level. I read somewhere, I think Gavin Comiskey from the Irish Times was writing at some stage last week that, you know, I think there's a tournament every year outside of the Six Nations Championship where the likes of England and France and I think Canada play in it. Well, if there is, I don't know. I think Ireland need to be playing in that every year because that's how the game is going to develop. And we've got a really, really special bunch of people here. And I think this needs to be harnessed and driven firmly in the right direction.
Fiona, you're not going to be part of that.
Yeah. I'll definitely be a part of something. I don't know yet what, but I definitely have to give something back to the game because I've gotten so much out of it. What road I take yet, I don't know, but I think there's just huge potential there.
Is it a time thing for you to retire now? I mean, physically, do you still feel you can play on?
Yeah, like physically, I'm probably in the best shape that I've ever been in. It's time, and you know, it's every weekend, it's every day, it's been brilliant and I loved it and I've loved the last 3 months in particular, but you know, sometimes you just have to stop, you have to move on to other areas of your life and stuff, so I'm crying naturally.
Lynn, I suppose at the end of this year's Six Nations Championship was just gone, there were question marks about your future. I mean, have you made a decision?
Yeah, similar to Fee. Yeah.
Really?
It's the end of the road. And I think, you know, Fee feel very honoured to go out with this bunch of players and having achieved what we have achieved and leave the game in such good state. So, yeah.
And in terms of a coaching capacity, or I guess maybe you need time to think about that, but do you want to be involved in what hopefully is the next generation of Irish players coming through? that get a lot more coverage and a lot more attention than perhaps the last few years. Mm. Would you like to be part of that?
Yeah, like I don't think I would like to coach. And again, I think it's a time thing, a sacrifice. Mm. We have to start giving back to our own families and friends and stuff. They've been sure. supporting us for so many years. I think what motivates me is girls learning right from the start.
Okay.
You know, so I think that, as Fee said, I don't know in what capacity, but, you know, we will definitely firm behind driving, you know, good coaching structures and pathways and so on, because that's really, really important. But again, I'm not too sure in what capacity.
Okay, well, look, it's been brilliant watching over the last few weeks. It's been a pleasure having you in studio, and you're going to stay with us, hopefully, for the next little while. We'll move on, but thanks very much for the time being. Fiona, what's the future hold? I mean, you're looking at a huge shift away from what you've been doing now full-time pretty much for the last few years. You have all this time in your hands, so how are you going to fill it?
Yeah, good question. My mum and dad were asking me that yesterday. I hadn't put too much thought into it. My focus was so much on the World Cup and everything towards the World Cup, so I don't know whether I'll go back to playing a bit of Gaelic football or take up a nice indoor sport that I'm not outside training
yeah.
cold. But I'd say I'll still do something in the rugby, on the rugby sideline or something.
Lynn, of course, you're living over in England. So work-wise, are you still going to play over there?
No, that's
you're done. Full stop.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, same as Fee, I suppose. Like, I think we've thrown our heart and soul into this, and to do that, you don't plan ahead, and I've enjoyed that. So we'll just see what happens. A new chapter.
Okay, if I asked you for a career highlight, would 2013 be it, or would the World Cup be it?
Oh, you're killing me.
Come on, you've had 10 minutes to think about it.
Oh, yeah. Grand Slam.
Yeah, you want to win trophies. Like, obviously, beating New Zealand was amazing, but you want to win trophies, and Grand Slam was special.
Yeah.
Do you think Philip will perhaps be able to stay on in his role as coach? Is that a conversation you've had with him, or?
No, you know, he announced his retirement obviously before the World Cup, and but that was the last we'd spoken about it. It was put to bed because it was just focused on the World Cup. I don't know. I think he might need a break as well. You know, he's put his heart and soul into it, and you know, it's very energy consuming as well. Even if it was your full time job, it would be. So I don't know. I think the break would do him good as well.
Okay, listen, I know I'm putting you on the spot, we're live on national radio, but are you going to do this white collar boxing thing for the Irish Rugby Nation?
No, but we'll find someone, one of those, we'll sign someone up.
Okay, listen, it's been a pleasure to have you on the programme, and thanks so much for everything over the last few years, not just obviously the World Cup and the Grand Slam. It's been brilliant.
Thank you
the best. Lynn Cantwell and Fiona Coughlin there, and thanks to Andrew and to JJ who put the show together. Big waves inside. Well done to the Irish women, says Pat and Kerry, so we'll leave it on that one.
Get your game face on.
Game on 2FM. 2FM.